Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masachet Sotah, Daf Chavav Amud Bet, analyzing Mishnah Dalet of the fourth parak. And in this podcast, we will also analyze Mishnah Hay and complete the study of Parak Revi'i. In Mishnah Dalet, we said that all arayot can be the object of kinui, or the accused paramour, so katan is easy. Isha marachmana v'lo katan. The text says if another man has relations with her, ish and lo katan. She'eno ish limute mai. What's a she'eno ish? Ilem limute shachuf. If you think it is eliminating someone who is incapable of having relations, shachuf. Rashi says somebody whose flesh is withering away and is incapable. So if Amar Shmuel Shachuf Makinin Al Yado Posel B'Truma, Shmuel said that's not the case, that he can be the object of Kinui, and he can also, if he has Bia with a woman, she's Psula L'Truma, let's say Bat Kohen. So Makinin Al Yado, why Pshita? It's obvious that Makinin Al Yado, Mahu Detema V'Shachav Yishotah Shichvat Zera Marachmana. Maybe he has to be somebody who's capable of producing Shichvat Zera, and this fellow isn't. V'Halav Bar Hachiyu. So Kamash Palan, that nonetheless, he's somebody about whom the husband could be suspicious. Also, a truma pshita, that's a no-brainer. So the amalu detema lechalal zarom achmana, that the prohibition of a kohen marrying out is somewhat associated with him defiling his seed or his children. So perhaps a man who himself is incapable of producing zera, as our shachuf friend is, his bia is not mechalel, so kamash palan that it is. So mishay noish can't be a shachuf because he is included in parshat sota. Ve'el mutei avu kochav must be excluding a non-Jew. Amar Rav Hanuna avu kochav magnal yada posel b'truma. Rav Hanuna ruled that an ovid kochavim can be the object of kinoi, so right away he's out. And by the way, he's also posel b'truma. Makrin al yado pshita. Again, it should be obvious that if a woman is having an affair with a non-Jew, that could also be the parshat sota. So ma'ud teima nitma nitma shtei pi'amim. After all, as we're going to learn in the next podcast, the beginning of the next parak, the Torah says nitma twice. For what purpose? Achala ba'al v'achala bo'al. Just as she is forbidden to her husband from here on in, if she is guilty as a sota, similarly she's forbidden to the paramour forever. So I would think echa the kamitzara mahaznut. I might think that she's only, that the only case where sota can even start is where the accused paramour becomes prohibited to her because of this nut. But in this case, she's already prohibited to him. He's not Jewish. So emalo, perhaps, therefore, parshat sota can't begin. So kamash malan, that it does. So misha eno ish is, cannot be shachuf, cannot be overkochav because they're not true. And we even suggested that it's obvious that it's not true, that a shachuf and an overkochav can be the object. We explained why it's not obvious, but it is true. Posel b'truma, this Ovid Kochavim is posel b'truma, so pshita. So ma'u detema, avad kohen kitei le'izar rachmana. This takes a little explanation. The Torah says that a bat kohen, of course, before she's married, eats truma. If she marries a non-kohen, she cannot eat truma. If she is divorced or widowed from that non-kohen and she doesn't have kids, she comes back, as we studied in Yevamot, she comes back to be able to eat truma. Now, how does that work? Uvat kohen ki tihiyeh le'izar. It's by her marriage to an izar, meaning a non-kohen. The bar havaya in, only someone who's capable of making kiddushin. The lav bar havaya lo. So I might think that her marriage or her being with a non-Jew, since kiddushin is not possible there, doesn't invalidate her from eating truma. Kamash malan depasil mid Rabbi Yochanan. So kamash malan that a non-Jew's bia does invalidate her. Actually, even more, midu Rabbi Yochanan. What's Rabbi Yochanan's limud? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Minayim, Lo, Avid Kochav, Avid Shabbal, Al Kohen, Avid Yavav, Bat Yisrael, Shib Salua. How do I know that if a non-Jew or an Evid Kanani have relations with any woman, but Kohen, Levi, Bat Yisrael, that she's Psula, the Truma forever? Shinemar, Uvat Kohen, Kitiya, Omana, Ugrusha. When can a Bat Kohen come back to eat Truma after her husband dies if she becomes an Almana or a Grusha? Or dies or divorces her. So only when she's leaving a relationship which could be defined by a consequence of almanut, widowhood, or gerushin, divorced status of a divorcee. as opposed to her being with an Ovid Kochadim or an Eved, where if he dies or divorces her, that's not called a Grusha, that's not called an Almana, because there's no Kiddushin. And therefore, not only does he invalidate her, but there's no return from it. So, as far as our issue is concerned, an Misha Eino Ish, which the Mishnah excluded from Parshat Sota, cannot be referring to a Shachuf, cannot be referring to an Ovid Kochavim, Ve'alamute Mai, Ve'papa Lamute Behema, Misha Eino Ish, literally, somebody who's not a person as opposed to a Behema. Te'ein Znup Behema, a woman has relations with a Behema, she's Chayavit Mita, the animal has to die, etc., but that's not called Znut. It's not called, as it were, a purely sexual crime as opposed to a unique Isur. Alright, which means, therefore, that it's not in the Parsha of Sota. Amar li Rabban Parziaki al Ravashi. So, the student asked Ravashi, Menahem Milta Damar Barain Znup Behema. The notion that Rav Papa invoked in order to settle the issue of Misha Eino Ish, now, a generation later, they're asking, what's the source of that? How do we know that Ein Znut B'Behema, that having relations with an animal, prohibited as it is not called Znut? Dichtiv, and here's the proof text. Lo tavi et nan zonah mechir kelev, beit Adonai l'recha, you cannot bring an et nan zonah, meaning payment given to a zonah, or mechir kelev, something that was used to barter for a dog. Why? Ki tovat Adonai l'recha gam shnehem. Both of them are an abomination. And what's the halacha? V'tanya, non kelev mechir zonah, switch them. Meaning, mechir zonah would mean what was paid to purchase a zonah, as it were, and a non kelev would be what you gave a zonah, a woman, to have relations with to have bestiality, mutarin. In other words, the Torah says both of these are abominations, these two, but not others, not switching them. So it's dafka at non zonah and mechir kelev, but not flipping them. So therefore, at non kelev is not prohibited. The reason is because even though it's disgusting and an isur, giving a woman an animal and saying, or payment and saying, I'm giving this to have relations with an animal, does not render it znut. And therefore we see en znut b'mehima. So now, if that's the case, v'alashichvat zera lamali. So why does the Torah say, if a man has kishgavela shichvat zera, if after all we're allowing the shachuf, the one who is not able to produce zera, to be in the parsha? So what's shichvat zera there for? Mibayle v'chadetanya. We have the following brayta: shichvat zera prat ledavar acher. In other words, there is not a particular kind of person, a class of person, but rather a type of behavior that cannot be the object of kinui, and that's excluded by the term shichvat zera. Now, my davarcha, what's this other thing that's excluded? If he expressly said his kinui about her having bia shalokadarka, having anal sex. After all, we have b'chola tarakula. Bia shalokadarka is considered the same as bia kadarka from the phrase mishkave isha, which in other places is explicated that it compares the two forms of shchivad, kadarka and shalokadarka. Therefore, for kinyan evama, therefore for kinyan kiddushin, therefore for isur arayot and everything else, they're all the same. So why would it be different here? Alamarava pradlech shekinyan la derech evarim. If he explicitly declared a kinui of her fondling or kissing or hugging, etc. So I'm really a baya. Although that's terribly loose behavior, but pritzuta miyasa rachmana, but it's not prohibited by the Torah in such a way that would create an isser to the husband. In other words, if the woman did it and there were witnesses to it, that would not prohibit her to her husband. So the suspicion of it can't be the parsha of Sota. Nishika here means a contact of the organ with the female genitals without penetration. That only works if you assume that ha'ara, which is the first step, it's called bia, means actual minimal penetration. Of neshika v'lo klumi, neshika is nothing, and therefore that's what we are excluding. Shichvat zera is there to say that kinui about something like neshika would not be actionable. That's why the Torah comes and excludes it by saying shechivat zera, saying that indeed is nothing. Mandamar ha'ara zu nashika, but there is a machloket about this in Yevamot, that whether ha'ara is in nashika itself, meaning that physical contact without penetration is already called ha'ara. So ma'ikal memar, you can't say that that's excluded by dint of the word shechivat zera, because this is called this is already called sexual contact. So according to that mandamer, you cannot say that shechivat zera is excluding neshika because neshika is included. We go back to the second answer, which was fondling and hugging, etc. Because I have good reason to think that would be problematic, because the whole issue is the sensitivity and the jealousy of the husband. Obviously, the husband's upset about it. He said to his wife, I suspect that you're having these sort of sexual, quasi-sexual encounters with a fellow, and I'm warning you not to do it. So Kamash Milan, that it isn't good that the process of sota can only be with actual sexual contact. All right, that's the piece. And now we go into something that's somewhat related. Amar Shmuel, Yisa Adam Duma V'Yisa Bat Duma. A man, it's preferable for a man to marry a woman who herself is suspected of being unfaithful to her husband when she was married to him, rather than marrying the daughter of somebody like that. Why? Shezuba Mitipak Shera, because this woman was born of a proper relationship, even the literally proper seed, but her daughter wasn't, because her daughter, we have reason to suspect, may be an illegitimate child, because the mother in question was not being faithful. Rabbi Yochanan says the opposite. Better to marry the daughter of somebody like that than to marry a woman herself has been proven to be loose. Why? The daughter herself has not been misbehaved at all. She has a cheskat kashrut, that she's a good person. But the mother has already lost that reputation. Now, let's see a challenge to that. Nose adam duma. A man marries a duma, again, right? Amarava v'tispera. Nose l'chatchila. Rava says that whole statement doesn't work. L'chatchila, that's who you should marry? Elaim nasa. It's saying, if you married a duma. So, talinami bat duma. So also, if you married a bat duma, that's, you don't have to divorce her. So that proves nothing. Hilchata, what's the halacha? Isa adam bat duma v'isa duma. We accept Rabbi Yochanan's ruling. Better to marry the daughter than the mother. Why? Because, first of all, the mother herself has a bad reputation. And second of all, we don't have reason to suspect that this daughter herself is illegitimate. Tatani Rav Tachlifa Bar Marava Kamed Rav Avahu, this particular rabbi from the West, said in front of Rabbi Avahu, Isha Mezana Baneha Ksherin, even if a woman is accused and perhaps is guilty of having an affair or affairs, her kids are still kosher. Why? Because Rov Bilo Tachar Baal. Even a woman who has affairs, most of her sexual encounters are with her husband, and therefore we go after Rov, and we say that these kids are legitimate. Now, boy Rav Amram asked the following question. What if she was excessively licentious? So we no longer have this Rov. Most of the encounters she's having are with other men. Mahu, then what do we do? So according, there's a machloket in Nida, when a woman generally will conceive. According to the one who says she conceives just before her period, then there's nothing to ask. The husband doesn't know when that's coming, so he doesn't watch her at the time. The assumption here is that a husband who knows that his wife is loose at least will keep a very stern eye on her, and a very careful eye on her at a time when he knows she's going to become pregnant, so at least his children will be kosher. So if we assume that a woman becomes pregnant chiefly before her veset, before her period, the husband doesn't know when that's coming, so he can't watch her at that time. So, according to that, really, we have no question, and we have to assume the children are illegitimate. Ki tibar lach, when are we asking the question, or according to whom? According to the opinion, it says that a woman generally conceives right after going to the mikvah. My, keva du yada ba detori mintelah. Do we say that since the husband knows when that is, because she would just went to the mikvah, he'll make sure that for those couple of nights she stays at home? But the fact that she's excessively licentious means that the children really do not have a chesed kashrut. And what's the answer is teiku. We really don't have a solution to it. All right, back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah Hey, the last Mishnah, said that we have three types of men, or three men, for whom the Beit Din acts on their behalf. We've already encountered this Mishnah several times in our Gemara, that the Beit Din acts on their behalf to issue a kinui if the word is out that the wife whose husband has become deaf, or whose husband has become an imbecile, or whose husband is in prison, that the wife is behaving in a loose manner. So Tana Rabbanan, we have now a bright that expands us a little bit. Ish. The Torah says ish, ish. Matam la ish, ish. Why does the Torah say twice the word ish, ish? Ish in introducing the parsha of Sota. If a man's wife, ish, ish, kizfeishto. Rabbot eshet cheresh veishet shota veishet shiamum. The shoten, shiamum are a little bit different. Shote is somebody who's clinically, shall we say, lost his marbles. And shiamum is somebody who's either going through a depressed period or whatever it is, but either way he's not functioning. Shalach bam dinatayam, or a woman whose husband is overseas for a long period of time. Shalach abush veitasurin, for he was imprisoned. Shabaitin makrin lahem lefoslan miktubatan. The Beitin act to issue a kinui, not to create the hashka'a, that you can't drink, except according to Rabbi Yossi, we'll see in a minute, but rather so that they can lose their ktubah if there's testimony about stira. Echol alf lahashkotan, I might think that you could let her drink, tamal nomar, vevi aisha dishto, and the pasuk before that, as you see on the page, says vikinela. So he has to issue the kinui and bring her. If he didn't issue the kinui, he can't bring her. Rabbi Yossi says that the husband, when he becomes capable again, or he comes out of prison, or he comes back from overseas, he, if he finds out that she was in seclusion, based on their kinui, can bring her to the Beit HaMikdash. So my kamipalgi, what's the machlok between them? Rabbanan savri ba'inu v'kinei v'hevi. You have to have the same person who issued the kinui is the one who brings her. That's the husband. If the Beit Din did it, then that's not good enough. Yossi said, "I love buying a vikine, baby." He just doesn't see the connection. He says vikine is one thing, and the kinui can be done on his behalf, and baby is a separate thing. They're not connected. Now, Tanu Rabbanan, Asher tiste isha tachad isha. This is something we saw at the beginning of our parak, and at that point I promised at the end of the parak we'd discuss it, and now I'm going to fulfill that promise. It actually wasn't my promise, it was Rashi's promise. The text says if a woman strays from her husband, so it compares the two, the husband and the wife. Why are they being compared? Just like if he were blind, he could not do the ceremony. Why? If she has a relationship that's away from his eyes, right? So therefore, if he doesn't have eyes, in other words, he doesn't see anything, then this is not hidden from him. Everything is hidden from him, and therefore the parsha doesn't start. So the Isha Le'ish compares them and says, just like his blindness prevents the system from starting, her blindness also. Rashi turns around and says, we're comparing him to her now. Just like if she were lame or had withered limbs, she couldn't drink. That the Kohen has to stand up in front of Hashem, and also he puts the mincha on her hands. So therefore, if she doesn't have hands or she can't stand there, she can't be in the parsha. By the way, this is not like what we said about Nazir, where if he doesn't have hands, he could still be a Nazir, even though his hands still theoretically have to hold the korban. Similarly, if the husband was lame or had withered limbs, he also does not bring her a drink. And the last one is Mabrava Shivar, Kashem Shi Lemet Loitashota. A mute cannot drink. A woman who's a mute, Tiftiva Mai Shah Main Amen. The woman has to respond Amen Amen. If she can't talk, it's not in the Parsha. Kahu Maya Ilem Loyamashka. Similarly, if the husband is mute, he also is not in part of the Parsha. So the Hekesh Vishala Ish is to say any disqualifying factors which are features of ability. Whether it's sight or disfigurement or lameness or whatever, or mute, being unable to speak, which we know from the text about one of them, the Hekesh then applies it to the other one, and either one of them who fails that, therefore the process cannot be instituted of Sota. Adron Allah Harusah, Baruch Hashem, we've completed our study of the fourth parak. We have in front of us another parak like the previous one where all the Mishnayot are grouped together. So in the next podcast, we will go through the Mishnayot, although we will go through Mishnah Bet and on very quickly because we're not going to deal with them in our Gemara, and then we will analyze Mishnah Aleph, which is the only one in the Perek about Sota itself, which will take us to the Gemara on Daf Chaf Tet Amud Aleph. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.